We are continuing the Yisaidos of Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav, which is in Mishle, Perek Gimel, Pasuk, Chav Zay. And here we find that the halacha becomes specific in certain cases, again about a Musar Dike Pasuk, which has overarching implications in human relations in general. In other words, there are many psukim, like we had in the past in Drocheha Darchei Noyam, which on the one hand speak about Torah in general, and speak about the beauty and sweetness and pleasantness of the ways of Torah, but on the other hand have very specific halacha lemaisa ramifications, which are based on that very same pasuk. The same thing is true over here. Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav Bi Yosleil Yaducha L'Asais. If you're able to do a Toiva, you should do it. So that's a generic, very overarching principle. To be nice. If you can have an opportunity to be nice and to do somebody a favor, the Gashmius, the Ruchnius, you should do it. But once again, we find that that pasuk is mentioned as a yesod in a specific area of halach. Now, what is the example of that? So I brought down for you the Gemara in Baba Kama last week, and now we're going to do the Rambam in Hilchos Schirus, which is B'doimel as a yesod in Dinim Mominus, which has ramifications because of this pasuk of Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav in a specific halacha in Hilchos Schirus. But the Rambam is in Schirus, Perek Hei, Halacha Hei. Mikan ani oimel, Shamaske bayis l'chaveroi ad zman kotzuv, v'rotza ha-soicha l'aske ha-bayis l'acher, ad soif zmanoi, maske l'acher, im yesh b'nei bayis, k'minyam b'nei beisai. The assumption is that all families are the same, and that, you can have sometimes a mishpacha with many children, but one of them is shakul keneged kulam in terms of being a young mazik. So it's lav dafka that because there are four members of the family, you have to ask, how old are they? What are they like? How many times was he thrown out of school? I mean, these are the questions that you have to ask. But lemaisa, the rabbah doesn't seem to be concerned about that. It's just a question of the number. So here you have a very interesting halacha that says that if you rented out a house, and the person who rented the house for a certain term, for a year, wants to leave after 3 months because he got a job somewhere else or whatever, and he wants to rent it out to someone else to compensate for the amount of time, so he is permitted to do so. V'rotza ha-soicher, la-haskir ha-bayis l'acher, he wants to rent it out to a third party, atzoiv zmanoi, maskir l'acherim, as long as yesh b'nei bayis, k'minyim b'nei beisai. Avolim hoyu arba, lo yizkor l'chamisha. Sh'loi omru chachomim en ha-soicher rashoi la-haskir el-metaltlin. Now here you have a very interesting rule, which is not the same as it is today. In most leases, there is a proviso that this is only for you, and you cannot rent it out to others. So everyone says, yeah, there's a halacha like that in Dinah Mominus too. Ein hasocher rashoi lahaskir. So the Rambam tells us that that is not correct, because there's a difference in halacha between real estate and metaltalin. If I'm talking about renting a tool, I cannot rent that tool out to someone else, without, of course, the permission of the balabais. When it comes to apartments, it's different, because that's kar. Again, let's read the Rambam. Shalai amru chachomim, ein ha-socher rashoi lahaskir, elu metaltlin. Sharei oimaloi, ein gitzoini shehei pikdoini biyaracher. Because when someone is in control of something that he could do anything he wants with it, because he can stick it in his pocket and run away with it, and he can cause it all kinds of damage, which is something you can't control at all, so the maskir, the first person who owns the chayfetz, can say, I gave it to you to use, I don't want anyone else using it. Ein ritzayni shiyei pikdoini biyadacher. Avo bekarka oi besfina, sharei ba'lo ima ein oyoy mekein. What does it mean, ba'lo ima? You have to understand that he does not mean that it's only in cases where you have an apartment and the owner lives above or below or next door or in that apartment. It could live in Miami and the apartment could be in New York. It's still called Baal Ima. Why? Because karka does not move. It's nichsi delo naidi. It's always there and it's always controllable. So, what about the damage internally? I mean, whenever you give karka, you have walls. Gemara speaks about shachurisa, the ashaisa, and so on and so forth. Apparently, since whatever consequences is already included in the rent to the first renter, so by him giving it over, since we're not concerned about absconding with the apartment, of running away with it, or destroying it completely, as we are with Ein Ritzoni Sheipik Doini Biaracher Metaltalin, so whatever damage would happen by renter number two, we assume would anyhow have happened by renter number one, and is included in the rent. Again, you see that the halacha seems to be oblivious of the different natures of people, and the different consequences of renting out to families. The Rambam should have said that, you know, there are communities that do not allow children, you know. It's adult communities. So what's the pshat? They don't want the noise. They don't want the tumult. They don't want the agmas nefesh. Yeah. So this whole idea seems to be missing completely here. V'chein ani omer, then the Rambam continued, right? V'chein, now, where does our pasuk come in? In this paragraph, the next paragraph. V'chein ani omer, im omer loy balabayis l'soich, loma titrach v'taske besi l'acheir, im loy tirtza l'amid boy, tsei, hanichoy, v'atapotam ischirasoi. What happens if the owner comes back with a counter proposal? Again, this person wants to leave, and he already agreed to rent it out for a year, and he's going to pay for the entire year. If he would leave early, he would still have to pay the rest of the amount. And now he has an eitzah for himself. What's his eitzah? He's going to rent out for the balance of the time to someone else, and memela, he will be able to leave and still have the income, which he will then pay the maskir. So that's a very good eitzah to solve his problem. So the balabas comes to him and says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I will be Michael the balance, but I don't want you renting it out to anybody else. So you in any case have no loss, because I'm Michael the balance. You don't have to pay for the time from now on that you're not going to be there. But I don't want you renting it out to anybody else. I'll absorb the loss. So what's the halacha over there? Zok the Rambam. V'chein ani oim. Im oma loy balabayis l'soicha loma titrach v'taske beisi l'achelim. Im loy tirtza l'amid boitzei. Hanichoy. You can go and leave it be. V'ata potem ischirosa. And the deal is that I will forgive the balance that is due. Eino yoko l'askir l'acher. In that situation where he doesn't have any financial benefit of saving the amount of the extra time, because the balabas has just patted him, then he cannot, the soicher who's leaving, cannot rent it out to someone else. Shezeh ba'al timna toiv mi ba'olav, ad shata maskiroi la'acher, taniach lozeh beisai. It's a very interesting application of this pasuk. The Rambam says, listen, now let's look at it from the perspective, how should the first soicher treat his balabas, the maskir? So the balabas is, in a sense, asking him a toiva, as it were. That's the toiv mi ba'olav. Leave it alone. Since the benefit that you're seeking to accomplish, I'm giving you anyhow, so why should you rent it out to someone else, which brings in people, and people are issues. The whole benefit you'll have is that you will be able to make the schiras up. Since I'm meichel you, you don't have that issue or that problem or that need, so leave it be. So says the Rambam that the soicher has to do it because of al timna toiv mi ba'olav. Very fascinating that if there wouldn't be such a pasuk, then it would be mashma that since the soicher's schiras is up to the end of the year, and since a soicher is rashoi lahaskir, because it's not like metaltlin that you could say in ritzaini, so the soicher really has the right to continue staying there, or if he wants to, rent it out to somebody else. So he's actually doing a toiva to the balabas, to agreeing to the suggestion of the balabas about his own property. Fascinating. So the Rambam says, on the basis of what concept does the balabas have the right to expect that of him, and the soicher has a responsibility to do it? Al timna toiv mi ba'al. Zok the Rambam vayta. V'yesh mi shahayra she'eino yochel haskiru l'acher klal, v'yitin schoro at soiv zman, v'lo yira li shedin ze emes. Rambam says that there are some who hold that the din of ein ha'shoyel v'ha'shoyel l'hashil and ha'soicher ha'shoyel l'haskir, that this principle applies even to karka, and he does not agree. So in any case, you find that this is the Rambam in Hilchos Schiras. So we had two very specific examples in Dinim Mamonos until now of Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'al. One of them is in the story of walking through somebody's property, which is a shortcut for you, and it does not in any way impinge upon the Balabas. And what is the case? he's a farmer, and there are certain times that walking on the ground is not going to affect his farming at all. And in those circumstances, the farmer is obligated, because of Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav, to allow the travelers, the people who want to go through his property, to do so. And the other halacha is what we just found in the Rambam, in his Lashon, he also mentions Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav. So he says, Asha Ola Bedaitoi, the Lishitas Arashbam Varambam, Efshe Likfois Lassis Toivel Chaveru Bamokam She'ein Shum Hefsed Loi, right? And he quotes the Rambam, the various Makairis. Hine Iker Ha Dekoifen Al Midas Doim Makairi Bababakama, Bemahalchim Bishvile Harishus, right? So Shloima Yamra, the Gemara says that this was a takon of Shloima HaMelech, and Shloima HaMelech said it in Mishle. Where does he say it? Al Tim Natoiv Mibola. Kidisanya Hare Shekolu Perosov Minas. He already does not have any problem for people walking through his field. Nevertheless, he does not allow people to enter his sada. So, right? So the Kosov says, the Pasuk says that if you can be good, why should you be bad? We spoke about this last time, that there's really no such Pasuk. So the Gemara asks that question, there's no such Pasuk. So the Gemara says, yes, in Ksiv Ki Hai Gavna, there's something doimel azeh in Mishle, and that was Shloima HaMelech. Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav B'yos Le'el Yod Cholasis. Aseh. So if a person looks at this Gemara, as I mentioned last time, you have to ask the obvious question, why does the Gemara create an artificial pasuk if they know that there's no such pasuk? And there is, in fact, a pasuk b'daimel azeh, which is a pasuk. So quote that pasuk directly. Quote the real pasuk. Why do you make up an artificial pasuk? So the answer that I said is that the artificial quote-unquote pasuk says something extra as a pshat in Shloima HaMelech's pasuk, which is the real pasuk. Because Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav doesn't say if you don't do it, you're called ra. And here it says, if you can be good, why do you have to be bad? So it's saying more precisely that a person who withholds a toiva is not neutral. See, a lot of times we could think that when you do a toiva, you're a nice guy. You're a really good person. But if you don't do the toiva, then you're average. And if you do hezek, if you go out and say a lashon hara, then you're not a good person. Then you're a rat. So he says, no. The Gemara is teaching me their understanding of Shlomo HaMelech, of Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav, is that if you do the right thing, you're doing fundamentally good, because that's what you're mechuyev to do, to be average. And if you don't do it, you're ra. The standard that Yiddishkeit insists upon is not an ideal. It is what a Yid is supposed to do. This is what we are. This is what we're all about. If you're not a Baal Chesed, there's something completely wrong with you. It's not that you're neutral. A lot of times we think that way. That person's, what a tzaddik. The tzaddik is acting the way he's supposed to act. He's acting the way we expect him, because he's a Yid. And if he doesn't act that way, then it's a pigam, not the other way around. If he acts that way, he's who knows where, up there in the clouds. And if he doesn't act that way, no, then he's like everybody else. Bakert, it says, me yois toiv, al tikri ra. You know, this reminds me very much, in its own way, to something that I always repeat, that I heard from tzaddikim, from gedolim, in the name of the Rebbe Rebbunim. You know, the Gemara says, the Medrash says, on the Pasuk in Shmini, Lahavdu bein hatomei bein hator, to distinguish between tomei and tor. So the Medrash says, bekama, how much is the difference between tomei and tor? So they say, kechut hasayra, a minuscule distance, a chut hasayra is nothing. And that's the difference. On one side is toiv, and on one side is ra. On one side is tomei, and on one side is tor. So the Medrash says, what are we talking about, says the Medrash? Chatzi kone pogu. The story is like this. In Shechita, it depends what you're shechting, an oif or a behem. But in an oif, the halacha says you only have to shecht one of the simonim, that it should be a kosher shechita. Now, in the two simonim, there's a difference. There's the windpipe and the food pipe. The windpipe is called the kone, and the food pipe is called the veishet. In the Litvish circles, they say veishet. But the Kana and the Vayshet, those are the two simonim that you don't have to cut both of them. And how much of the simon do you have to cut? The answer is roiv. So you can cut roiv of the Kana and it's kosher. You can cut roiv of the Vayshet. That is another halacha by the Kana only. The Kana, even if it's severed, not through Shechita, but because of an animal, or because it naturally severed, it doesn't make a difference. Up to half, it's still kosher. It's not. It doesn't become treif. It doesn't become a treifa. Now, imagine the following situation. You have a bird that's kana is severed, but not roiv. Half. 50% of the kana is already sliced through. Is it capable of shechita? Yeah. How many simonim do you have to shecht? One. Which simon? Whichever you want. Now you shecht the kana. How much of the kana do you have to shecht for the shechita to be kosher? Roiv. But half of it is already sliced. Yeah. So you just give it a shtickle nick in that particular story, and then you shecht it roiv. Roiv. Kosher. Now, what happens if in that nick the animal did it? Or in the effort to make that nick, you did a psul in the shechita? Even though it was a mashahu, you already made it a nevela or a treifa. So memela, in all of these cases where you have that rare combination of shechting the kana was chatzi kana pogum, etc., the difference between kosher and treif is mamish a mashahu of cutting, and that's kechut hasayim. So the Rebbe Rabunim used to say, people think that the distance between Gan Eden and Gehenim is vast. Gan Eden is for tzaddikei olam, and Gehenim is for rishayim, and in between there must be this huge no man's land that most of us fall into. And he says, no, lahavdu ben atomi ben atorah bekama kechut hasayim. One full step and the person's in Gehenim. The pshat is toiv and ra. There's not really much no man's land in between. Yiddishkeit expects things of people. Yiddishkeit demands things of people. And the nobility and the chashivus of a Yid, an average Yid. You know, we have this idea that we're constantly talking about, you know, tzaddikim and gedolim, masa yagil maisa l'maisa avoisei, and that in many ways limits the person. Because he says, that's not for me, that's for the tzaddik, that's for the gadol, that's for the Talmud Chacham. His Bam is very interesting. The Rambam has a lashon in Hilchas Deis over and over again. Talmud Chacham has to be like this, and a Talmud Chacham has to be like that. And many Sfarim write that the Rambam means an average person. The standard of the average person is what people would expect of Talmidei Chachamim. That's our standard. If you're not toiv, says the Gemara, you're ra. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's why they created this artificial pasuk. They created an artificial pasuk in order to teach us a yesoi that al timna toiv mi ba'olav is not a midas chasidus that you are. Ooh, wow, what a tzaddik. I'm not roi to be in his mechitza. The minute a person says that, he says, in my mechitza, I can do whatever I want. No, really, that there is a lot of that. Any time a person deprecates himself, knocks himself down, it sometimes seems to be such a nice thing, and a nivus and everything. It's sometimes the biggest maisesot, because a person has to have expectations of himself. And if he doesn't, he will never achieve. And this is true in the secular world in its way, but it's even more true on the moral level. A person thinks I'm not roi to that madrega, who knows who's whispering that into his ear? It might not be anivus at all. It might very well be the opposite. Not gaiva, but an attempt to diminish the person's avodas Hashem. And this is maisim b'chol yom. You know, in fact, the truth of the matter is we are asked to be even absurd sometimes in our hasagas of ourselves. Because otherwise, it's very, very difficult to accomplish anything. I mean, anything that a person does. This famous, I repeated this story a number of times. They say that the Panav Jerub came somewhere in South America, Sao Paulo, whatever it was, and he comes in and he sees this magnificent building, a Beis Yaakov, or whatever it was, and all of a sudden he asks the person next to him, who's his guide, his tour guide, who's showing him around, bring me the Meshugana, weiss me the Meshugana, where is the Meshugana? So he looks at him, what Meshugana are you talking about? Some of them were a few. So he wants to know which one he has in mind. Maybe there weren't any. He doesn't know what he's talking about. But he says, who's the Meshugana? So he says, to build such a building here, you have to be a meshuggah.
And that's the point. There is a certain level of expectation that a person has to be seized with a certain vision and a certain motivation that extends itself far beyond. Most people who accomplish anything are like that cartoon where the person walks off the cliff and he doesn't realize he's off the cliff and he still walks. This is it. And they tell a maisa that I always tell over, that a reporter was interviewing this fellow, this Frenchman who walked across. There used to be two buildings in New York called the Twin Towers. I don't know if you ever heard of them. But there was the Twin Towers, and somebody walked on the 50th floor from one to the other. He was a famous tightrope walker. Yeah. So Bekitsa, they said that the reporter interviewed him afterwards, and he says to him, that's the story. He says to him, I can't believe what you just did. You walk on the 50th floor without a net below, on a little strip that's 3 inches wide. So they say that the tightrope walker looks back at him in astonishment, and he says, it was the 50th floor? There was no net? It was only three, and he faints. So it's a joke, but Lemaisa, the point of the joke is that there has to be that almost absurd hasaga sometimes to be able to accomplish great things. But the expectation of the average Jew is no volume. That's why a Yid can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the biggest frost, like I saw my Zayda many times in his old age, and go to the mikveh. Because achosid get mikveh. It's a different concept when you say, oh, it's cold outside, and then maybe lav dafka, and I really don't need it. Now the teretz is a soldat is a soldat, and the hasogis is what makes you. That's really the truth. There's no difference between Reuven and Shimon. This one is frail and this one is fragile. This one has this problem, this one has that problem. This one has this concern, this one has that concern. This worry, that worry. What's the difference between the two? That one does and the other one sleeps in bed. That one goes out and accomplishes and the other one is afraid of his shadow. Hasogis. Hasogis. And that's really, you have to identify. What is the definition of the average Jew? So he says the average Jew is toiv. And toiv means altim na toiv mibala. And if not, then he's ra. There's no such thing as sitting back into neutrality. I always point out, I can't remember which sefer I saw this in. I've been looking for it for ages. I saw it first when I was a youngster, and it made a big roshem on me, this point, this hashkafa. And I was looking for it since then, and I can't find it. So if any of you know a makar for this, I would be very much appreciative. The pasuk says in the end of Parshas Yisrael, "Loisale b'malus al mizbechi asher loisigole avoscha ola." So the kasha that was raised was, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, there were quite a number of steps. Regular steps, where the Kohanim would rise up on the steps. The Kohen himself who lit the menorah was going up several steps. And there were steps going from the Ulam to the Eichel and so on and so forth. So what's the pshat that you can't go up on steps? So he said that when it comes to the Mizbeah, when you makriv a korban, and you're on your way to be makriv the korban, you cannot rest for a moment. That's why there were no steps. He pointed out that when someone goes up on a ramp, physics, even when you're standing still, let's say he pauses to refresh himself for a moment. It was a very long kevesh. It was a long ramp. So he stops, and he's carrying pieces of meat and so on, heavy pieces. So the question is, he needs to rest a minute, so he stops. When you're on a ramp, even when you stop, you're expending energy because you have to hold yourself from falling back. You have to support yourself to move forward, even when you're standing still. So there's no such thing in a ramp as standing still. That's the pshat. When you have an idea to be makriv a korban, it can never lose that vision, that commitment. It can never stray from the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep moving. I have to stop for a second, but you're not really stopping. That's the idea of loisale b'malus, because when you have steps, you can stop and rest, and you're perfectly at rest, because the center of gravity is even with you. And that is a very beautiful idea. I don't know where I found it, and I've been saying it over many, many times. If any of you know, by all means, in the idea of this image of loisale b'malus hamizbechi is again this notion, you have an idea, follow through, and you can do it, and you will do it. As long as the person has that commitment, it's all in the commitment. It's not in the capacity, Rabbi say. No one knows his capacity. No one knows his capacity. And it's always better to overreach
as long as it's not totally absurd. And what totally absurd is Veis Menachet Nisht, who is the Meshugana. You never know. Says the Hamik Shela, after he quotes this Gemara, so the Gemara Kvar Bi'arnu B'siyata D'Shmaya B'Ham, I mean, the Meshiv Dover is the Hamik Shela, the Rebim the Netziv, Rebim Naftali Tzviyu de Berlin, the Rosh Hashiva of Alosha. B'Hamik Shela, the Zehoya Mishpat Shloimei B'Shtei Noshim Zainos. Now he says, we'll get to that in a minute because I have that photocopied on the next page. L'Chayra Amai Tanya B'Braisa Olav HaKosav Oime Miyois Toiv, he asks my question that I asked you before, which I gave the answer. He asks, why does the Pasuk have to be mentioned as the real Pasuk, which is really not the Pasuk that they brought at the beginning? Let them bring the real Pasuk and why are you calling it Miyais Toiv Al Tikrei Ra? And then asking, is there such a Pasuk? It says, yeah, there's a Pasuk like it. So then quote that Pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech. Why are you making up a Pasuk? Elevadei ein zeh hamikra mamush. L'hadasanya arei shekolu peiroisav. D'lichfois lasis l'toyves chaveiroi. Vadei einoi elo miderach hamusar kechol divrei kabola umusari sefer mishlei. Avo bebraisa tanya she'en yochol limchois b'holchem b'sadeyu. Al zeh sifu mikra acher miyois toyv al tikri ra. Kofinis ha'odim shloy liyois ra v'osu limchois. Umei oylem lo shamanu l'lichfois lasis eze dover l'toyves chaveiroi. He says an amazing thing. He says, not the opposite of what I said, but different. What is the pshat? He says the reason they don't quote directly Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav is because they want to know in the end can you be Meicha or not. So Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav doesn't say that you have to do it. It says it's the right thing to do. Mi Yois Toiv Al Tikra Ra, he says, in this particular case, they said, you have no right to be Meicha. In other words, if I want to walk through your field when it's not Negea to you, you have no right to be Meicha. That's what he writes. Braisa Tanya She'en Yochol Limchois B'Holchem B'Sadeh. He can't be Meicha even if he wants to. That is not in the Pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech. Why not? Because the Pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech, in general, all of these Pesukim, Hitainas, are Darche HaMusar and kind of like an Eitzah Toiv of how to be the right kind of person. But it does not Paskin LaHalocha that if you aren't that way, then it's too bad on you, the other person can do what's right. In the case of the trespass, in fact, the other person can walk through the field, even though you say, I don't want you to. There are certain inyanim, if you can't do it on your own, then it's not happening even if they force you to do it. Mitzvahs is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists upon. So whether you are inclined or not, it's like, there's a chazal that has to make sure that Hashem's will is achieved. That's why in many mitzvahs there's kfiya ala mitzvahs. Not every one of them, but in many mitzvahs. However, in inyonim that are not compelled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but just that the moral nature, the fabric of the person requires it, so if a person's fadorben, forcing him is not going to make him less fadorben. That's the problem. So what you have to do instead? You have to bring him in and teach him to be a mensch. You know, you have to re-educate him. You have to fix him. But forcing him is not going to fix him. So I think that's what he's trying to say, that just to be doing a dover toiv, there's no halacha that the Chachamim insisted that if he doesn't want to do it on his own, we will force him. But in this particular case, you can allow the people to trespass, as it were, because it's not hurting him at all. Who owns the field, they can walk through the field whether he likes it or not. That's what he said. So in that particular case, it wasn't enough to quote the Pasuk of Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav, because then you wouldn't be able to walk in Baal Karcho. You're just expecting him to say, okay. Masha Ein Kein, when you say, Miyois Toiv Al Tikrei Ra, he says it's a Pasuk. He doesn't mean that it's a Pasuk. The Gemara says it's no Pasuk like that. But the Chachamim said, in this particular case, we understand that it's not like that. The question that we would ask the Netziv, I think, if he was in front of us, is what makes this case different? Since in the end, the only makor that you have is Al Timna Toiv Mi Ba'olav. And you want to say that in general, there's no such thing. So why is this case different? That's the kasha. But in any case, you see from the Rambam that he applied this pasuk also to the other situation, where even though, according to the Rambam, the Shitaso, again, the Seicher is in control of that apartment till the end of the term, and he is able, al pi halacha, al pi din, to be maskir to others, if the balabas exempts him from the payment and says, I'm meichel the balance, and leave it alone, then he is obligated only mitzad al timna tov mibolov to let that happen. That's proof of how much he's in control of the apartment, the seicher, that it's only because of al timna tov mibolov. The balabas is begging him, as it were, and he doesn't have to listen. So he says, no, he does. Why? Al timna tov mibolov. The last thing I wanted to do with you is mishpat shloimeh. It's a fascinating thing. Everybody knows the story. The story is that there were two zonos that gave birth at the same time, and one of them died. And yeah, I don't stand corrected. I stand clarified. That's what I intended all along, but I assumed everyone understood. No, it made it sound like one of the zonos died. One of the babies died. Correct. So one of the babies died. They came, and each one says, my baby is the one that's still alive. Somebody might even say the opposite. But in any case, my baby is the one that's still alive. So they came to Shlomo HaMelech. Very interesting also that this comes to Shlomo HaMelech. You know, it's like two Zionists. Like who cares? Yeah, it comes to Shlomo HaMelech. And Shlomo HaMelech is and the Chochma Shloima, he decides. What is his decision? That being that there's a machloikas here, which is impossible to prove, right? Again, they didn't have the DNA in those days, the DNA tests. So it's impossible to prove whose child it really is. So the best answer is to satisfy both of them by slicing the remaining child in half, and each one will get their chelik. So one of them said, takazoi, and the other one said, crazy. I'd never allow such a thing. Give my baby to the other Zayin. So Shlomo HaMelech then said, this is the mother, and go take your child and go home. So the L'cha'ira, the Chochma that is evidenced here, is that Shlomo HaMelech figured out a tachbula which would prove the correctness of the argument of the real mother, because no genuine mother would ever allow that her child should be killed. So the fact that the other one, it's like, my baby's dead anyhow, so let that baby die also. It's even more than she doesn't care. She doesn't even, she would be happy, because this way, nobody has anything. And everything is right in the world. So Memela, he figured out a chokhma of how to get psychologically the true mother to reveal herself, and the opposite as well. That the mother that is not the mother, the zayna that's not the mother, should also reveal herself. And that's the chokhma. You know, there are many examples of that sort of thing throughout history, where the person figured out a tachbula to prove something that he could not bring edus for, etc., etc. But let's take a look at the most fascinating piece here in the Shi'iltais. This happens to be the very last Shi'ilta, Kuf Ayin Aleph. There are 171 Shi'iltais of Rabbi Achoy Gaon, and the chibur that was composed by the Nitziv, the Reb Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, Zichron Levroch L'Chai Olam Abba, on the She'iltos of Reb Achoy Goin, he called Hamik, technically the Pasuk's Lashon is Hamik She'olah, but most people say Hamik She'ela. So I marked where we should start looking at it inside together. So he says like this. He speaks here about something else entirely. And he brings in the Mishpat Shloimeh Derech Agav. What is he talking about? He's talking about making a simcha whenever you have a seal. And he quotes the famous halacha. Which halacha? What is the makar for a siyum that you're supposed to make a mishta v'simcha? So there are two makaris, basically. One of them is a Gemara Masecha Shabbos. Abaye says, Rashi says he was a Rosh Hashiva, that's why he did it. Tasili, Chazina Tzubim Rabbonin Del Kamesayim Masechta Avidna Layoy Metavu L'Rabbonin. When I see a Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham being Masayim and Masechas, I make a whole party for him. A young Avidna Yoy Metavu L'Rabbonin. So that's the makar, that when you make a siyum, you invite everybody to share and participate. That's one makar. There's another makar in the Pirkei de Rebbe Elazar that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Chachma to Shlomo HaMelech. And when he woke up and he was filled with this Chachma, he made a tremendous simcha when we invited everybody. And Vayal Oilos Vayas Shlomim Vayas Mishta L'chol Avodah. He made a Mishta for everybody. So, by the way, Derech Agav, they asked the question, and this is a Yesoid in many drushes at Asiyum. What do we learn from Shlomo HaMelech that has to do with Asiyum? After all, the Asiyum is, as the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar calls it, Legomra Shel Torah. And here, Shlomo HaMelech was given Chochma. These are tools to be able to learn further. But it's not finishing anything. He's on the threshold of beginning. We don't make a simcha when we begin learning. We make a simcha when we finish learning. So the question is, how do you derive that from Shlomo HaMelech's Cholam? He wakes up and he makes a Mishnah L'chol Avodah. So it's pointed out, and this is a very big yesod, that Siyum in a sense is a misnomer, because you can never finish. Torah is infinite. So what is the real definition of a Siyum? It means that you achieved a level in learning. For what purpose? To be able to use that achievement to start all over again. Hadron Aloch, exactly. That's really what we mean when we say the words Hadron. We are returning to you. So returning to you could mean many things. But in the particulars of this context, it means simply, now that I have some sense of what the Masechta is all about, which is a containing of certain halachas which the Chachamim saw fit to put in one unit called the Masechas, now that I have that, I go back to the Masechas with new eyes, with a new understanding, a new appreciation. Where do those eyes come from? Where does that understanding come from? From the fact that I finished the previous time, and now I see the Masechta afresh, with all that insight and all that understanding. They say, a Maisa, the Kloisenberger once said, people learn in yeshivas, all kinds of complicated inyonim about a Rashi and Daf Beis when they never even saw the Rashi and Daf Ches. So how could that be? So that's what he was trying to say. It was that you know, that's where the Mifal HaShas idea comes from and so on. You have to learn. You have to learn a lot of Chaymer, because Torah is aniyim b'makam echad, ashirim b'makam echad, and particularly each Maseches is a containment of ideas which are toli zebazeh, connect to one another. And memela, if you learn the entire Maseches, what it really does for you is give you the opportunity to learn the Maseches all over again. That's what you learn from Shlomo HaMelech, actually. Before that, he didn't have that Chochmah. Now he has the Chochmah. He has to start learning all over again. Remember once I told you that Yaakov Avinu goes to Shem Ve'ever. Let me ask, what is he going to Shem Ve'ever for? That's not his agenda. His agenda is to get married. So there are all kinds of terutzim. And I was thinking that Yaakov Avinu learned all those years. Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Ahalim. Phenomenal. But he learned them before he got Yitzchok Avinu's bracha in Ruchnius. Now that he has the brachas called Birchas Avraham, the Yitun Lecha is Birchas Avraham, he has a special zuchus and a special siyata d'shmaya. He starts learning all over again. Because now he's learning with that siyata d'shmaya that he didn't have before. Sananda Limud. The same thing, and all of a sudden everything opens up. You have to run back to the basement to take advantage of that opportunity. Shlomo HaMelech was probably brilliant to begin with, but the Chochmah that the Pasuk is talking about is something we can't even fathom. If you have that kind of Chochmah, what do you have to do? Zetz mezachlav? That's the idea of the Hadron, that it's the opportunity for the future. So mikan she'oisin simcha legomra shel Torah, because it's the haschola of the Torah, just like by Shlomo HaMelech. So now, in that context, he says as follows. To test them, and to command, to cut the child in half. And then he came to the conclusion who the mother was. It's called Mishpat Shloimei. L'chayra ein baze shemetz dinu mishpat. What does it have to do with mishpat? Umay ka'omer achaka ki ro ki chochmas elokim bekirboi lasis mishpat. It should have said, he's very sharp. He's very psychological. Where is the mishpat in this? There's no mishpat.
It's very interesting. He says, I'm not so convinced even about on the psychological level, because maybe the one who says, give it to her, is because she's using psychology also, exactly as Reb Chaim says. She's trying to outwit, you know, we always say that psychiatrists and psychologists, their biggest nisayon, the biggest challenge is the brilliant Meshuggah, because that's the way it is, you know. Everything that he's trying to figure out what's going on in his head, he's already anticipated, and if I raise this, the psychologist I call. So this is what he's saying. Dilma Rumi Kamarma, how do you know? Let's skip to a couple of lines. Lochein Nira de Iker Hapsak, about 8 lines down. Hoya Alpi Masha Umru Babakamadaf Pe Aleph. This is incredible. Why? Because there's not one person in this room, including yours truly, that would ever have connected Mishpat Shloimei to the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Pei Aleph that we just learned 5 minutes ago. Namely, Shloimei HaMelech's decision that if you have no problem in the field, you should allow the people to walk through. Ma Inyan Shmita Eitzel HaSinai. What does it have to do with the Mishpat Shloimei of these two Zaynais? Yeah. So he says as follows. He says, Faked, that's the Yesod Advarim. How so? L'chein nira de'ikar ha'psak hoya al pi ma sh'amru b'b'kama daf pe'alu from ha'beiz. T'shloimei amru l'ho d'sanya arei sh'kolu pe'roysav min ha'sodah ve'ena miniach b'nei odom likonis v'seich sadeyu ma'abri yosem yisalov ma'hanoi yesh l'ploini. What is the satisfaction that the owner of the field has that he doesn't allow people? Like, what is the benefit to him of not allowing them in? What does it do for him? You know, it's like, why is he so nasty? So the Gemara says, Vaita, right? Umabrios mazikos loyolov. What are they hurting him by walking through, right? And hakosavayim miyostev al tikrira v'hainu shama shloime al timna toiv mibolov b'lios leiliot chalasis v'zeh apsak hochel be'uvda zu. You hear an amazing plaitzes. You know what plaitzes are? Shoulders. Shloime HaMelech says, whose shoulders? The Netziv has shoulders. The Netziv's telling me a historical fact. We don't know that. But he's telling me, I'm telling you, this is what happened. This psak that he said about this sodeh was derived from the consequence of his mishpat Shloime with the Zaynim. It's amazing. It's mamish was a ruach hakoidish. He said, Zeh mishpat chodosh he'elo shloimoi dekoifin al midas doim. That's what he says. Malo im yutan hayelid lahashenit. Zeh mishpat chodosh he'elo shloimoi dekoifin al midas doim. Ukvar be'arnu deleko midi delo remiza be'oraisa. He'elo she'ein onu moitzim mekoim horemez. And then he says, maybe it's tzedek, tirdoif, etc. Avol shloimoi bechochmas ha'toyre sheboi yoda horemez. V'zehu gomra shel Torah shiyoda kol remozim ma'efshel lahoyres v'lodun. Amazing thing. And then he says, v'hinini moisif, we'll get back to it. What exactly is he talking about? What is the connection between the two? He doesn't even explain it fully. He says, and hinini moisif v'zeh, t'shloim v'bikish me'akadosh baruch hu shnei dvarim. V'nosat al abduch alev shemeya lishpoit esamcha, lahovin ben toiv l'ra. Pirush. Lishpoit is al pi mishpat ha'tzedek shabbat Torah. That's justice. The law, but lahavim bein toiv l'ra, hainu shloyia din merumeh. It should not be that the circumstances of the din should confound the psak. V'hinei zayin revusa kol kach, ma shebikesh l'das im mi ha'emes. T'chol melech v'shoifet roitza l'das ochi. In other words, we paskin according to the law. But who says that the Edom didn't lie? Who says that the person didn't pull the wool over your eyes, make himself into a tzaddik when in fact he's the Rasha, etc., etc.? So every judge would like to have that knowledge, right? Avo mashabikesh lodas amito shel Torah hitzitkas levavoi shel shloimei. V'hainu sh'omaloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'sha'alta l'cha. Right, Havin Lishmaya Mishpat, Vihine Kashan Isbarak Shloima, Zochal Shneela, Bhavin Lamita Shaltaira, Vagam Lachavin Ha Emes Vitainis Habali Dvarim. He wants to say that Shloima HaMelech had a special insight into discovering who's telling the truth, besides the knowledge of how to paskin, what does the Torah want? Balzehe viakos of Maisa Dezainos, Shukiven Lemishpat Chodosh, Beruach Chochmas HaTorah, Vegam Yotza, Baskol v'amra hi imay shekiven gam le'emes beguf ha'maisa. So the Nitziv, about the Emes L'Guf HaMaisa, I have nothing to say. He's telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him certain insight to be able to see that what he paskened al pi Torah was in fact the Metzius of the truth. Because judges don't know that generally. They just have to follow the law. But how do they know that they didn't accidentally, unintentionally commit the opposite? Because they gave the right to the Rasha and they punished the Tzaddik. There's a problem that we have in all systems of justice. Because in the end, it's like Ein L'dayan El Mashein of Royetz. Ha'adam Yirulaynayim V'Hashem Yirulaleva. So you never know. In the time of Mashiach, it says V'harichoy B'Yiras Elokim V'lo L'mariyein of Yishbait. But that's Mashiach. He has a smell, a certain instinct. So he says that Shlomo HaMelech was granted such a thing as well. But getting back to the Inyan of the Mishpat, what he's telling me goes in stages. First of all, he says, Shlomo HaMelech had the ability to discover a psak halacha in the Torah itself. Even if it's not mefurish in the Torah, leka mili deloi remiza b'ayraisa, and he found the makar. He's suggesting that maybe the makar was tzedek tirdeif, but in any case, he found the makar. Makar for what? For the inyan of al timna toiv mibal. And what is that inyan? He says, if it doesn't matter to you anymore, then you should be generous and you should offer whatever you have to the other person. He says that was what was priming his psak legabe these women. He says because what she was saying is, since I'm not going to get the baby anyhow, so therefore I'm going to give it to the other lady. The good one is saying that since I'm not going to get the baby anyhow, you might as well... Yeah, they cut it up, I'll not get the baby. Right, if the baby's dead, he's dead. So what's he doing is he's taking it out of the psychology. That's what he's doing. He's saying, the normal pshat of this sugya of Shlomo HaMelech is what? That you see a person that's willing to kill a baby, that cannot be a mother. Isn't that how everybody understands it? If you see a person that's willing to kill a baby, better the baby should go to an orphanage, better the baby should go into somebody else's hands. It's not shaykh that because of your stubbornness, you should kill your own baby. So Memela, we see clearly who the mother is. And then maybe she was Marama, whatever it is. So the Paschal came out and said, no, you did right. So he asks, where is there in this psychological analysis, which almost anybody can do, Mishpat? So it's brilliant on the part of Shlomo HaMelech that he came upon this ploy. Because no one was thinking in those terms. And to come up with a ploy is a genius. So it shows Chochmah. But what does it not show? Mishpat. Where is Mishpat? So he says there is Mishpat, because that's not what happened. He was not basing it on an evaluation of the psychological inclinations of the real mother versus the other mother, the mother of the dead baby, the one who's not the real mother of this child who's still alive. So what is it instead? It's on attitudes of Mishpat that are based on the ideas of Al Timna Toiv Mibalov. In other words, a righteous person says, whosever baby it is, I want the baby to be alive, because it's not going to benefit me that the baby is dead. If I can't have a benefit from this baby, let the other person have it. Because what damage does it do to me? I won't have the baby anyhow. So it's not killing the baby, it's not having the baby, then you might as well have it. At least you'll have a benefit. The other person is the opposite of Al Timna Toiv. Because the other person is saying, if I can't have a benefit, you can't have a benefit either. So it's really a matter of evaluating their gisha to tzedek, to righteousness, to goodness. This person is good and the other one's fador. And that was the mishpat of Shlomo HaMelech. So he says that you see that the Torah insists that if you have a chance to do right by the other person, you have to use everything that is yours to be able to do that right. Now, to take from a field and trespass to giving away a baby is like an interesting connection. But in a million years, we wouldn't come up with this ourselves. The Nitziv had a very extraordinary capacity, and he was a bucking kol chadrei Torah, and this was his sense, his intuition. So he says that actually that story where he judge them based on their graciousness, their kindness in this very difficult moment, came to him to say that the derech of the Torah, and where did he get it from? So he says, maybe he got it from somewhere in the Torah itself, maybe Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, he doesn't know. But that was Chochmas Shloimeh, that he was able to find a makor that you have to have this attitude. And that gave him the privilege of saying that's the mishpat of these two babies.